Will you turn with me, please, to the chapter we read together? John chapter 17. John chapter 17. My text this morning is to be found in verses 24 and 25 of that chapter, which I will read again. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. Seeking the Lord's help this day, for without him we can do nothing. Let us consider these two verses before us. When we come to the scriptures, we come to the book of God. There are many books in this world, many books that have been written, books written by men. And sure enough, this book was also written by men. But there is a difference, my friends. These men were inspired by the Holy Spirit himself. In the work of God, he impressed upon their minds the words that are written here. If God is God, he can communicate his glorious truth to the sons of men. And if God is God, he can keep his word pure and without error throughout all ages. As soon as we say that God is not God, we then deface the scriptures. We take the truth from the power of the word. But it is our prayer that we would be kept faithful to this word, and how dependent we should be upon him. We should seek grace daily, that we may love the word and put it above all other things. And as we come to this chapter in the Word of God, we perhaps will know that this is a remarkable chapter. For in it we see the counsels of heaven. The counsels of heaven between the Father and the Son. And there are many things in these verses that we simply cannot understand. We are taken up into the heights, as it were. The glory land that there is between the Father and the Son. We can think, perhaps, of the time when there was nothing. And the glory which existed between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, when there were no angels, when there were no men. That companionship, that fellowship, that perfection, which existed between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This glorious council that existed between the persons of the Godhead is demonstrated here in the Son praying to his Father. And within this relationship is added the love of God and the covenant of God to his elect people, so that Christ could say that that love which the Father has to the Son is that same love that the Father has to his people. It is there in the Word of God. Here we're taken up into the heights, as it were. And we should be praying for grace, that our hearts and minds would be open to these things, that we would be humbled before this Word of God and lift it up. For the Lord seeks to encourage us. The Lord seeks to give light to our hearts and souls, to give us a view of heaven, to assure us that heaven is ours if we are his by his grace. And that is what I would seek to do, to draw you nearer to heaven this day, to give you something of the glory which will be the true child of God's in heaven. For here we have glorious words, sublime words, wonderful words. Words of utter love. Words of the most profound gentleness. Words of the most profound grace. And all that our hearts would receive them this day. From verse 9, our Lord has been speaking of the fact that he is praying for his people, that they would be a kept people, that they would be a sanctified people, that they would be a united people, and that they would be a people with him in glory. Four very important things for believers. And we are well to note in these days of apostasy, when the apostate church of Rome would seek to gather within her the faltering and erring Protestant denominations, and the World Council of Churches, which has the Church of Rome behind it, no doubt, they quote these verses slightly earlier in the chapter, where it says, they say that, well, the church should be one. The church should be one. There should not be the Protestants. There should not be the Catholics. They should all be one, for Christ prayed for such. But let us note that Christ says here, as he prays here rather, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. My friends, I put it to you that there are no doctrinal differences between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, as there are great doctrinal differences between the Church of Rome, which our reformers and which the framers of our confession of faith said was the Church of the Antichrist. There are great doctrinal differences between that church and the church based upon the Word of God, the Protestant believing evangelical church. And we must only unite with those who are united with us on the great points of doctrine. That is why we should unite. Only upon such unity. That is where we should unite. So now let us consider verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Here we have a wonderful request. A wonderful request. Here is a prayer that our Lord prayed. Not in vain. There was not a word in this prayer or any of his utterances that was spoke in vain. There were no idle words with our Saviour, as there are with us. There were no idle and wandering prayers with our Saviour, as there is often with us. These words were meaningful. And he is praying to his Father. He prayed for his people. I will that they also, whom thou hast given me. He is praying for those whom the Father has given him from all eternity. These are the ones he is praying for. And he prays because they have a need for prayer. He prays earlier that they would be kept from the evil. He doesn't pray they'll be taken out of the world, but he prays that they would be kept in the world. And so he prays. If there was not a danger that we face, if there was no need for him to pray, he would not have prayed this. This prayer was vital in our salvation. Yes, he went to the cross. He paid for the sins of his people on the cross. But he also had to pray for his people here. And he prays now. He ever lives to make intercession for us. And he is praying here for his people. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. It is an earnest prayer. It is a prayer of concern. It is a prayer of divinity. Father, I will. Who was the one who was praying? That great God. That great I am. The God man. The Jews very well knew that when he said he was the Son of God, he was making himself equal with God. They were in no doubt about that whatsoever. And we do well to remember that. Here was divinity praying. And if divinity is praying for his people, they will be with him in glory. But note that he has to pray. He has to pray. And we should be aware of this. Oh, we should thank God for this chapter. We should thank God that our Lord Jesus Christ prayed. How he prayed for God's wisdom and God's blessing upon his chosen 12. Even though one was a devil, Judas Iscariot. How he prayed and prayed. And there in heaven now, he is praying for his people. Praying that we'll get home to glory land. And here he is praying in the garden. Praying for his 12, his apostles. Praying for his people. Praying for that great number of the elect of God. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. What a thought. To be given by the Father to Christ. My friend, if you are a child of God this day, if you have the workings of the Holy Spirit of God, if you have a love for the Word of God, a love for godliness, oh, it is because the Father gave you to the Son, that your sins would be put upon his soul, and his glorious righteousness imputed to you. Or you were given to Christ by the Father. You were gifted to him. And he came and he paid the price of your sins on the cross. He is not praying for the world. He is not praying for those who will never come to Christ. There is so much nonsense and heresy in the churches, preaching that all are loved by God, preaching that all will come to heaven, all will get to glory land in the end. That is a nonsense. That is to spit in the face of God's holiness, of God's justice. Only those will get to heaven whom Christ has died for, whom Christ has atoned for. It is these that are being prayed for. And this will be a great number. This will be a great number. The book of Revelation says that John saw a number, a great number of the godly, a number which could not be numbered. So vast, so vast. Oh, it will be a great number upon that day. They have been given by the Father to the Son. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. You see, our Savior is... He's saying to the Father, Father, these have been given to me by thee. So I pray for them. They are thine and they are mine. I pray for them. Oh, that they would be with me where I am. It is interesting, is it not? He says that they may be with me where I am. He is not yet in heaven. He is on earth. He is yet to go before the agony and trial of the cross. But he's praying as if he was in heaven, that they may be with me where I am. Our Lord was no ordinary man. He was a man in the fullest sense. But he was the God-man. He was God manifest in the flesh. He was the second Adam. He was the Lord from heaven. And he is praying as the divine Son of God, as if he were already in heaven, as if he were already in glory. We cannot pray like this, but he prayed like this. He could see glory before him. He could see the cross. He could see the cross. He could see the desertion of his Father upon his soul. But he could see glory land. And this is what inspired our Savior. This is what kept him through the cross, through those years of ministry. When he had the great weight of that work ever before his holy mind and soul, that he must go to that terrible cross. What sustained him? Glory. He would get to be with his Father. To be with his Father whom he had loved and whom he had been with from all eternity. The Father loves the Son. The Son loves the Father and the Holy Spirit as well. A blessed union. Oh, he desired to be up in glory land. And this is what inspired him. This is what kept him in his trials. He would be with his Father. He would be with his Father and he would be with his people. But was it? What is it to be in heaven? What is it to be in? What is heaven? It is this. Here in this phrase. Heaven is that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. Christ given glory by the Father. This is the divine description of heaven. That they may behold my glory. Only the godly will desire to see the glory of Christ. Those who are unconverted and die unconverted will have no desire for Christ. Will have no desire for His glory. Only those who have the work of the Holy Spirit upon their mind and soul will have any desire for godliness and for Christ. How can you say that you will enter heaven if you do not love the things of heaven? If you do not love godliness, if you do not love purity, if you do not love the fear of God? Without holiness, God says, no man shall see the Lord. And this is what he is praying, that they may behold my glory. This should bring joy to our hearts this day, that our Saviour is praying for this. And this is what the saints of God desire. They have something of the work of the Spirit upon them. There is much that is of the earth still in them. There is much that is sinful within them still. So Paul could say, "Oh, wretched man that I am." But there is something. There is something within us that desires the glory of Christ. On this earth we rise each day and we seek to read the Word. We seek to pray. We seek to meet with Christ in the Word. We sing the Psalms. We seek to meet with God in the Psalms. They are the Word of God for us. God's glorious hymn book for the Church of God. We seek to meet with Christ in the preaching. We seek to meet with Christ in our prayers. We seek to meet with Christ in the fellowship of God's people. But oh, how encumbered we are with our weakness. How kept back we are from our imperfections. But still there is that yearning within us. There is still that flame that seeks to be with the Lord and seeks to be with God's people. And surely it is a confession of God's people that we bemoan the lack of the presence of God within us. In our daily devotions, we see such poorness of experience within us, and yet not completely devoid of the presence of God. And this is why we desire glory. For there will be no sin. There will be no sin to hold us back. We'll be quit of sin. Sin no more in us. Body and soul perfected to behold the glory. There will be nothing in the saints of God in heaven that will cause us any sorrow or shame or tears or pain. Or there in glory land we will behold His glory. This should lift our hearts. This should put a spring in our step. There is a time coming that they will behold, the children of God will behold my glory, Christ says. Why? Because Christ has died for us. Because the covenant is sure. Because He's prayed, "I will," that they also. And if Christ has prayed, "I will," then there will be none that are lost. There will be none that are lost. Christ said earlier on in this gospel that none could pluck the saint of God from his hand or from the Father's hand. Then he said, "I and my Father are one." Oh, see the security of the Christian. See the wonders of the plan of salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. He has done all things well. And we should rejoice in this. Oh, that God would give us something of the taste of glory land this day. It is so easy for us to look to this side and to that side, and to see the wickedness of the world and the darkness of men's hearts, and sure it is there. But we must look above. We must look up. We must lift up our heads. Oh, and may God feed His people in these days, that we would be a faithful people, that we would be a heaven-looking people. The days pass. One by one they pass. But for the child of God, we are one day near a glory land. Can you see something of Christ's glory now? Can you see Him there by faith? But there in heaven, you will see Him face to face. Oh, glory. What a wonderful prayer this was. The gentleness of Christ is here before us. The love of Christ. Can you not feel His throbbing heart of love for each of His people? Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am. If it was us to go to a terrible death, we would be praying for ourselves, no doubt. But our Lord Jesus Christ is praying for His people. He is to suffer. He is to suffer for them. All the love of Christ to His people. He's praying that they will behold His glory, the gentleness of His words. Oh, do you know the love of God in your heart? Do you know the love of the Saviour to your soul? He says in John 14 to the disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Can you not sense the gentleness of these words, the power of these words, the love of these words? Christ is not sending an angel or one of His other angelic beings to prepare a place. Preparing a place. He does it Himself by His death, by His agonies. He will come again and He will receive us to Himself. We see an earthly mother or an earthly father welcoming their son or their daughter after a long time of absence. They bring them to themselves and embrace. Oh, that is a picture of what it will be when Christ will embrace us. He will receive us to Himself. Oh, the love of God to us. Paul said, "Oh, the Son of God who loved me, gave Himself for me." In heaven we will only be able to behold the glory of Christ perfectly. And it is interesting to note that the premillennialists, those who believe that Christ will rule physically on this earth for 1,000 years, they say, well, everyone will behold Christ there as He rules on earth. But no man in this sinful state, in this temporary state, can behold the glory of Christ as He is. It will not be until heaven, until that eternal state, that we will be able to behold the glory of Christ. How glorious is our Saviour! Can you adequately describe the glory of Christ? You cannot. We will be lost for words on that day. Oh, to see Him. Oh, to see Him who has borne all my sins away, who faithfully dealt with me all my days, who took me up, who never put me to one side, who never deserted me, even though the saint of God says, well, I've deserted Him on many times and failed Him on many times. We will be able to see our Saviour then, who has done all things well for us and will bring us home at the end. We would love to be in heaven, no doubt, at times. Surely that is right. Paul said, I desire to be with Christ. Oh, we desire to be with Christ, he says, which is far, far better. But he said that it is needful. He was convinced that the Lord would have him stay on earth to be a blessing to his people. We would love to be in heaven. Would you love to be in heaven? Would you love to be with your Savior? Oh, but you're kept here, visiting a lady a few months ago. And she said, I don't know why I'm still here. She was a dear saint of God, widowed for a number of years. She said to me, I do not know why I'm still here. Why have I been left? Well, it was because still there was work for her to be done. Still there was an encouraging word to come from her lips to the saints of God. Still, no doubt, there is a word in season to be spoken to her children and to her family. We're kept here, dear child of God, for a purpose. Still, there is a word that you can say to a child, to a son or a daughter or a husband and wife. Oh, you are kept here for a reason. To be salt and light, that this world would not be as wicked as it possibly could be. You are here to be an instrument of the gospel. Tell the gospel to others. Communicate your faith to others by your actions and by your words. Or seek the salvation of sinners. Oh, God is keeping you here for a purpose. The devil would come and say to us, well, why have I been kept here? I'm just kept here because God has forgotten me. No, he has not forgotten us. He has not forgotten you. He will never forget his people. He will bring you to himself in that required time. My times are in thy hands, the psalmist says. And then secondly, let us now consider the 25th verse. Not knowing and knowing the Father. Not knowing and knowing the Father. He prays, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. This is the verdict of Christ, that the world hath not known him. And the world hath not known the Father. The world knows many things. It knows sin. It delights in sin. That is what the wicked are about. We have before us in these last few hours the results of the wickedness of man in turning over the ordinance of marriage. The media are full of it, parading their wickedness. Look what we've done. We've overturned the ordinance of God. The world hath known sin, but it hath not known God. And you born into this world are born in sin. And you know sin. You know guilt. And you know darkness. But do you know God? The world says Christ, hath not known me. This is the tragedy of the fall. We should think upon it much. The great tragedy of the fall. Some theologians have sought to put aside the doctrine of the eternity of hell. Why? Because they have limited the seriousness of sin. And they have limited the holiness of God. The world has known sin. And that is what the Bible says. Men are full of darkness. They love darkness rather than light. They are wedded to their sin, Christ says. And to be wedded to sin and to know sin and to rejoice in it is to not know God. Christ makes an absolute clear demarcation. The world hath not known thee. Paul says in his epistle, one of his epistles, if any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. That is a curse. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are as yet not reconciled to God, if you do not know of his pardon, know of his peace, you're under condemnation already. You're walking in darkness. Walking over the edge. into the bottomless pit. And there you will ever fall, falling, 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 because you've known sin and not known God. But the message of the gospel is, turn, repent of sin, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Saviour said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came not to call the righteous, those who think they have no sin, but sinners to repentance. He receives sinners. He willingly receives those who are confessing their sins to Him, who are coming with their tears and their sorrow. Oh, gracious Saviour, they pray, be merciful to me. Wash all my sins away in thy precious blood. And there are many, many sinners turning from their sin to Christ this day. And there will be rejoicing in heaven this day over just one sinner who repents. And there will be many sinners who repent this day. But will there be rejoicing in heaven this day over the salvation of your soul? Or will there be weeping and gnashing of teeth that will be yours? For you will not come to Christ. You will not know God. You may know many things, but you know the blessedness of the Saviour. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you've known sin, the guilt of sin, the power of sin. What a terrible thing it is. What a glorious thing it is to be free, free from sin. Peace with my Maker. Peace with my Judge. And when you come and appear before Him, He will say, this one is mine, given to me by my Father. Oh, you, that you would be one of whom Christ prayed on that night. Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am, to be in heaven. Or will you be in hell? There is no purgatory. There is no reincarnation. Time is not a circle. Time is a line. It is ongoing. Or where will you be? Where will your soul spend eternity? Or that you would be humble before the Lord and would seek His grace this day. The godless have their heaven now, but afterwards hell. The Christian has his test here, but afterward heaven. Oh, Christ said to his people, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. If you're going to be a Christian, the world will be against you. The devil will be against you. Your own flesh will be against you. But Christ will be for you. Heaven will be for you. Will you have heaven before you? Will you have heaven for you? Or will you have the devil for you for all eternity? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Let us rejoice in these words before us. Or may we be animated by the Spirit of God in these words. May we be lifted up again. How easy it is for us to be downcast. How easy it is to be taken up with sorrows and worries and anxieties and with our own failures. Yes, we should have a sense of our own failure. There should be a mourning, but there should be a rejoicing as well. There should be a downcasting but an uplifting as well. We should be looking to the Lord. Let us rejoice then in these words. For if we are the child of God, this prayer is our prayer. This Saviour is our Saviour. This heaven, this glory is our heaven, is our glory. And let us lift up our heads. For our redemption draws nigh, draws nigh. Oh, it is coming. Christ is preparing a place for us. He's coming for us. And He will receive us to Himself. May God add His blessing to these thoughts for his own name's sake. Amen. Let us stand and pray together. O blessed God, we thank thee for the grace of God and the gospel. We thank thee that grace has shone into this world, and grace has shone in the hearts of thy people, so that we are no longer looking down at our own sin and in our own misery, but we have been able by grace to look up to heaven. Oh, we pray that we may be a people looking up, a people rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. O Lord, bring in poor sinners, we do pray thee, into the blessed kingdom through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the word, and bless all thy dear people here. Draw near to us, may they be rejoicing and blessing and glorying in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ amongst us this day. For his name's sake, amen.